ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته ومنتهى علمه وصل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين When a person looks around the world, he sees and in many places chaos and disruption, and it has almost to a different degree been like this from the very beginning of time. There was time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not given anyone freedom of choice. Millions, billions years passed on the face of earth or in the heavens or in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There wasn't any disturbance at all. There wasn't any chaos. There wasn't any pain and agony. But since Allah Azza wa Jalla wa Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created the creation of human beings, and previous to that, as in the Surah Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. that he created two creations to which freedom of will and free choice was given to. Since that time, there has been this problem. There has been this disruption. Before, there was nothing. Since we or the jinnat have been coming up with our own ideas, our own choices, triggered by our desires, there has been chaos, there has been disruption, there has been fitna. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to also come back to that state where there is no disruption, there is no chaos, there is no pain, there is no agony. That is why he sent a system called Islam. Islam again says that Allah has given you, for example, this freedom of will in the form of water, like it's given to you. And Islam says, means submission, submitting to the will of Allah voluntarily. Now voluntarily you are asked to give that water back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command and him. It's up to you, you give or not. But you are asked to give it back actually. And you, when you give it back, again, there is peace. That's what the word Islam also means. That when you submit, there will be peace. Wherever there is no peace, there is, because there is rebelliousness, there is no submission. Even though, let's say in one house, the two persons living, husband and wife, if they don't submit to rules, regulations or their rights, they don't submit to each other, there will be chaos in the house. There are only two people, there are only one man and one woman, but there will be chaos because one, as soon as one submits, that's okay, you have the authority, I have these, you fulfill my rights, I fulfill yours, etc. They submit to, then actually there is peace again. Similarly, in countries, when the subjects, when the people like you are living, you submit to the law and say, okay, we will abide by the law and we want government to protect us and help us, etc. There is peace then. That is why the system of Allah is called submission. Islam called submission, that you freely give back what Allah Azza wa Jal has already given you. It's not yours anyway. It's going to be taken away from you at a particular time, but in the meantime you have it at your disposal. So that freedom of choice, the freedom of will, Allah Azza wa Jal says, you give me back and bring it under, how you give it to Allah Azza wa Jal? Just bring it under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way, again there will be peace and there will be peace in the universe. Like in the time once it will happen, we know in the entire history of humanity, it had never happened. The old people have given their freedom away to actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forecasted and predicted that this will happen in the end time near the day of judgment, when Imam Mahdi and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will come. There will be 7 years and 9 years when everyone will submit. There will be one religion, one deen, many, many nations, but no war, nothing, none, because they all have submitted. Then again after 9-10 years, again people will go back to their own thing. So do not look upon the world, what's happening in Syria, what's happening in Yemen, what's happening in Iraq, that this is one off thing. This is, has been like this from the beginning, to a lesser or more degree. Because people are tested, people are given freedom, and they normally, if they are not purified, they misuse, they select wrong things. And then actually when you select wrong thing, you are harming someone, and whoever you are harming, they are going to do something, they are going to react, and when they react, then these people protect again, and then actually that causes chaos. Even in the heavens, and in the Jannah, and in the Sama, in the higher skies, when there were only 2 persons only, there are millions and millions and billions of angels. But there were 2 individuals who had this freedom of choice. One was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and one was actually Izazil, who was at that time, after he was known as Shaitan and Iblis. Look, they both had freedom of choice. Only 2 people, now there are hundreds of people living, thousands of people living on the earth. But even there were 2 people, meaning one jinn, one human being, one a prophet, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and another one who was just a pious jinn at that time. But even when there were 2 persons living, and then all Jannah to live in, it's not about place when people are fighting, that we are fighting over country, it's not about that place. Even if you put people in Jannah, it proves that there's so vast paradise, that if Shaitan roams around hold of the paradise, it will take him years and years and years, still it will not end. It was not about these things. But he became jealous. Jealousy doesn't need anything. He became jealous. And there are only 2 people living, and in the heavens, who has freedom. There are millions of angels who have no problem, nothing is happening there as such. But 2 persons living, and then one actually becomes jealous because of the status given to the other one, and actually that causes chaos in the heavens. Even actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled then 1 person from there. Now secondly, that when they come on the face of the earth, when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam came on the face of the earth, there were 2 people, for example, living. 2 of his sons, Qabil and Habil. They're no cousins, relatives. There's so vast earth that, and whole of the earth, there's 3, 5, 6 human beings living. But if you want to cause chaos, if you want to cause disruption, if you want to cause fitna, it's not about these matters. So that's why Quran emphasizes on purification. If a human being is purified and their earth is filled with such human beings, it will still become like a place of bliss and Jannah. And if there are only 2 people living on the face of the earth, they have all earth to live in and to enjoy. But if they are not purified, like Qabil became jealous of Habil, they were 2 sons of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. This shows, although Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam did their tarbiyah, brought them up, but again it all comes back to the freedom of choice. You all have choice, no matter you are son of a prophet, or you let us say, marid of a prophet and son of a prophet living in his time, who's seen all the miracles, still it's up to you. It can't be that automatically that you will become actually such a robot. No, you have the choice still. So Qabil killed Hazrat Habil because of jealousy, because of status, because of women, because of ladies. You see this fitna. So after that, nations live. So what I'm trying to say is, it's not. Don't think that because there's so many people living and people are. It's not about people. It's not about land. It's not. It is about the heart of human being, because that's not purified. That's why there is fitna. It's not because there are too many people. It's not because they want land as such. The land is less. There is less place to live. There is less risk on the face of the. It's not about that. As I mentioned to you, once they submit to, even in the time of Imam Mahdi, people will live peacefully. There will be more people than now at that time. It shows when the human being use freedom, they can. For example, their states, people are dying from hunger, dying from every disease. But if some human being without revelation, without wahi, revelation or guidance, in Europe after the first, second world war, they put their head together, that what's happening with these human beings, people are dying, they are living in dirt, they are living in filth, there is no health, there is no food, people are hungry, and it's like now it happens in many countries, the same state was there. So some people came together and they said, well, let's actually do something about it. Even though without divine guidance they came up with this concept of NHS or welfare actually, or state, and you see little bit of mind they use, and now hundreds and thousands of people are at least safe from actually dying from hunger or dying because they are not getting medicine. Little mind they use, and that also without divine revelation, without wahi, without hadith or anything. That is such brilliant mind and brain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted the human being with. Imagine if they use this brain under the guidance of revelation, then what would happen? And why is there chaos in some so-called Muslim countries? Because they are not following divine revelation, nor they are using their own mind actually and brain for the welfare. They are using their brain but to fill their own pockets. The how we can actually become rich and wealthy. For that they are you doing. But as I am just giving you an example, that some people they did use for welfare, and they came up with something actually which people are benefiting. You are benefiting now, your children are benefiting. So it's not about people, that is too many people. It's not about their too land, anything. It's all about if the heart actually, what you have in the heart, how your heart is purified or not actually, it comes over. That is why the Anbiya alayhimus salam, when they come, they firstly work on the heart of the people. Because I've given you an example, it's not about other things. In Jannah, how vast the Jannah is. If impurified person, if a person who have not done tazkiyah, he will live in Jannah, he end up fighting there. He will end up being jealous there, like Shaitan had actually this fight and this jealousy. If a person is not purified, he's living on the face, only few people are living on the whole of the earth, and they are killing each other, hating, like Qabil, the son of Sayyidina Adam al-Islam, killed Habil and ran away and other did many other things as well. So it is about submission. And what second thing which I'm trying to convey, that don't think because you are living in these times and know it is very difficult. From the very beginning there have been tests, and everyone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests on their own lifetime. You are being tested in your own way. Other people tested their own way. But actually these things are to happen. But don't think that these innocent people who are suffering, the women, the old, the children, the common people, who have nothing, who are just being oppressed, that they are losing. They are not losing. Yes, they might be losing a little bit of this worldly luxuries and things which we think is most, but really they are not the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let them lose. How? In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam mentioned that on the day of judgment, on the day of Qiyamah, shaheed will come. A person who's been martyred, who's given his life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will come and the angels will open his books, his deeds, bad deeds, good deeds. His scales will be set up there. He will be questioned. He will be asked. There will be hisab and kitab and reckoning. Once Rasulullah ﷺ was asked this question, that if a person gives his life in the way of Allah, he is a person of Jannah. He said yes. And then he called the questioner. When he was to go away, he called him. He said, call this questioner. He called him back and said that Jibreel alayhi salam have come and informed me that yes, a person who is the martyr in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all sins are forgiven, but rights of people, dain, the meaning actually debt, money, property who he has, which he has looted or anything like this, even if he is killed, martyred in the way of Allah, again he is actually resurrected. Again he gives given life. He again actually is killed in the way of Allah. Then again he is given a life. He gives, third time he gives life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, still his this debt and dain right of people are not forgiven. So he told the questioner that what I told you was general, but there is one specific, Jibreel alayhi salam mentioned this specifically. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Shaheed will come and he will be also held accountable for something. Then, person, scholar, a person who gives charity, a person who gives sadaqah, he will come, he will also be reckoned, he will also be held responsible for actually what he has been doing. His books will be opened, his deeds will be checked, his amals will be weighed. And then so on, then that every category will come and they will be like this. But the Prophet ﷺ said, then there will be a group of people. There will be a group of people who will come, a category of people for whom no books will be opened, for whom no scales will be set up, for whom there will be no question asked. And they will come and they will be commanded actually to go towards heavens and Jannah. People will be surprised that who are these people? Shaheeds are being held accountable. The people who have been given charity, they are being held accountable, and everyone, and who are, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these people will be the people of musiba, people who have been afflicted by wars and famine, and who were innocent but they came into chaos because of the wrongdoings of others. They used, meaning lived in those times and those countries which they were just like innocent people living, and other people were causing fitna, and they were just sufferers. Over children, old ladies, men, normal people, even young people, young women, young men. So that's why I was saying that don't consider they are losers. They have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not let anyone down actually who is innocent. In one way or the other, he compensates them. If a person is in. So these, for example, people who are suffering in, let's say, Pakistan or actually America, wherever there is oppression, in Palestine, in Yemen or Syria or Iraq, whatever. Imagine on the Day of Judgment they come, they have not done any good deeds as such. Maybe they have not done any good deeds as such. Very high ranking good deeds, just than the normal people praying, doing things, etc. Maybe they are sinful people. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this ummah is marhuma. My ummah is ummah of mercy. They receive mercy. Allah deals with them mercifully with them. Wherever they are, wherever they are. There's marhuma. It is to mercy showers on them. Mercy is destined for them. If they don't do good deeds, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in one other hadith, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a mercy wants to give a high status to someone. He wants to bless you with a very close status, qurb of Allah or ni'mah or certain blessing in akhirah or in Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that this person is lazy. He's not doing anything to deserve that. He's not doing anything to deserve that. He's lazy, not doing anything. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fadl and rahmah, then He makes the way and means as well. So how does He get that status? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a flood of musibahs and illnesses and afflictions open on Him. Other people are having pity, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is mercy from Allah. Other people feel sorry for Him, but He is being blessed in the form of hunger, in the form of war, in the form of oppression and other things which He is suffering, actually sometime at poverty. And until this is sent, until because of these musibahs, these illnesses, that they are purifying him from sins, and when the sins are washed away, they start to elevate his status until he reaches that appointed place, appointed status, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give, and then he will be given that. And he will not know even. He will think, I am not the good one, look what's happening, everyone's enjoying, oh, I don't have these things, etc., etc. But as I said, there is no despair, there is no hopelessness in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said, coming back to the first hadith which I was mentioning, that Ahle Musiba, the people of affliction, the afflicted people, they will come no reckoning, just actually walking and running, flying towards Jannah. And Prophet said that people of Afiyah, people who stayed there, they spent their time in well-being in those times. For example, they were eating enough, they were actually getting blessings enough, their health was fine, there no oppression, they were enjoying their lives. Those who lived luxurious life, when they will see this happens, they will wish, we wish that we were also afflicted and our bodies were cut into pieces with scissors of metal, and so that we may get this status today. We would have got this status. We wish that this had, we wished we didn't have that car which we actually wished for. We didn't have that luxury life which we actually wished for. We wished actually we were also, but when they were living in the world, when we are living, then because actually these matters of the unseen, we don't know. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that to the Sahaba ikram, do you know that which group will be called? Because there will be millions and billions of people. It's not actually normal thing that to see, to be curious, that who will be called toward Jannah first. Imagine all people are there, but someone obviously has to be called to the paradise. Which group? Shuhada, Siddiqeen, these Sakhi people, generous people, the Abideen, the people of worship. Who is called there? Why Rasulullah informed the Sahaba Ikram? So that we also may practice patience, plus actually also know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. Don't think that you are the lucky and the other one is unlucky. The other one might be the lucky one, because you don't know. The Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullah alayhim ajma'in, they said, Wallahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows better. That which people will be called, we don't know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the firstly amongst all people of Abideen, Zahideen, they will be standing. Other people are standing there. But the first group which will be called towards the doors of Jannah, after meaning Anbiya, Sahaba, these people who are guaranteed, I mean, we are talking about normal, other than Anbiya, alayhi wasalam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is those people, those who walked and lived in dunya, and one of them will go to town center. One of them will go to town center, let's say Manchester town center, over London, wherever you live, a shopping center, to get something or to just pass through. Then his eyes are scanning, actually, the blessings there. He is seeing car showrooms, he is seeing carpet shops, he is seeing furniture shops, he is seeing actually all other blessings and things which people buy or which are there. He is seeing people enjoying with their families, with their wives, actually buying and shopping and doing drinking. He'll see people eating in restaurants. So Rasulullah mentioned that one of the person who walks in the streets, who walks in the shopping centers in the streets, and he looks at all these things, these high luxury cars, houses, all other blessing. Because you other day one person, actually I know, he did shopping from one shop next or something, as he was mentioning. And the shop assistants, they were surprised. The shopping they did, well, the bill came to about £37,000. And they were at the how he or she is going to pay that, actually. But obviously he paid. So they were surprised. So there are people like this, when a person goes to the markets and things. And then there are other things. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this person will go along and see all these things, and in his heart, because he has children, he has parents, he has brothers and sisters, he has mind, he has body, he is son of Adam, daughter of Eve, same as others are, there is no difference. He or she also many desires kindles, that I want this, I want this, I want to give this to my wife, I want to give this to my children, my brothers, I want to buy this for my father, etc., etc. There are many things will come. Desires will kindle like flames of candle, but they will die therein as well. Because when the person thinks, I don't have enough to even pay my bills, I am in debt already, these things are unthinkable. for me. These things are unthinkable for me. They are not actually approachable for me. So many, many desires and wishes will come and they will die there as well. The heart will be a place where these desires blossom like flowers, and the heart becomes the graveyard of these wishes and desires as well. This is not a worship as such. He is not doing tahajjud. He is not actually offering nawafil. He is not doing dhikr. Maybe he is just walking by. But this is such a high thing which he has suffered, or he has actually this feeling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares so much of the feeling of a servant, of what his servants go through, which no one other sometime can actually know what a feeling a person actually goes through when he can't fulfill a wish, when he can't buy something necessary, when he cannot buy food, when he cannot buy whatever he desires actually. This is such a thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these are the people, those are the people who will in front of presence of all Anbiya, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin, in whole of the Hashr, and people of Hashr will be witnessing that they will be called to enter Jannah first. They will be the first one to be called to go to Jannah. But on the outset, I never think about like this about any other person. I think maybe the person with tasbih, who is sitting in the mosque, he is the one who is going to enter. Or who actually seem to be pious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why it is said, tawadu, the humbleness, is a great thing. Because you never know how Allah azza wa jal is going to bless the other person. How is he going to be blessed? Maybe he has such a deed which you can never even imagine. He is going through an affliction. He is going through a masiba. He is going through a family divorce. He is going through actually problems. He is going through illnesses, or he is going through financial. And these things are raising him where your prayers and nawafil can't take you, and they are going. So Rasulullah said, my ummah is ummah marhuma. Marhuma means actually it is mercy showers on them, even though sometimes they don't realize. Sometimes they don't want, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually sends mercy to them. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu once said, he said that when a person sins, when a person commits crime, sin, first thing is that if he asks forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the month of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, in which he passed away. Many, many other great Sahaba ikram, many, many great awliya, salihin, they passed away. But the highest amongst them is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He stayed most of the time, more than any other companion he spent with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he was his friend from a very young age. Even before announcement of prophethood. Even in the years of Makkah, suffering years. Even in the cave of Saud. Even in Madinatul Manabra. Even in the battles. In everywhere. Even in the grave he is with him. Resting with him. He has such a friendship. That is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed that you have accompanied my beloved in the grave of soul, because soul is like a grave. It's dark and you are there, it's like a grave. It's as though he's got reward of that 1-3 nights of soul he spent with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we have millions of days and months to spend with him in the blessed graves and the barzakh. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards proportionally, and more than that, people in different ways. And the Sahaba ikram knew that this virtue was very, very high. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, He used to say that to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, "I wish if Abu Bakr can take my all good deeds, my all ibadats and the reward of jihad and Islam and everything, and just give me that closeness, that reward, that sawab, that pleasure of Allah which he achieved in those 3 nights and days of Gharisal." Because he knew, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him. But obviously there was darkness, but there was light in the grave as well because of the Prophet. Because Amma Aisha Siddiqa, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Anha says, our mother Aisha Siddiqa, Umm al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, she says that in the house of the Prophet sometimes there were not enough oil to a light, a lantern, a lamp. There was not enough oil to just actually light a simple lamp. She said even when Rasulullah was passing, his blessed departure physically took place, at that time there was not enough oil as well. There was darkness in the house. But she says that once I was sewing something, needle, and actually I dropped the needle. Is obviously a very thin thing, and the darkness, it cannot be seen easily. So it dropped on the ground, and I could not find it. She said that I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I can't find my needle. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only what he did was only, you see, he said, "Where have you done it?" "Here." And she said, Rasulullah sallallahu said, "Here," and he actually bowed his head down on that ground, and because of the light of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu, I could see the needle. I found it there. Rasulullah looked for it, but actually she said there was such light used to come out that when he brought it near the ground, in the ground there was so much light that needle could be seen in the darkness. This nur, this blessed actually face of our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Sahaba Ikram, this is not exaggeration or anything, they had mentioned this in many times in their hadith. One Sahabi radiallahu anhu, that's why Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he asked, it's because he's his blessed man, he said, what is the most beloved thing you like to do on this face of the earth? Jibreel alayhi salam said, I like to do this. Rasulullah mentioned his own likings. Sayyidina Umar mentioned, Sayyidina Ali mentioned. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu asked, he said, one thing which I like most in this dunya is actually looking at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was his favorite hobby and favorite thing which he liked. So Sahaba Ikram Rizwanul Ali Majmain, they actually did give comparison. Many of them could not describe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because the light which was on his face, they could not very clearly describe him, how his blessed face was as such, because of that. Because then, firstly, they didn't look very with focus, secondly, because of that light. And one Sahabi said, like nowadays, I think it's also the moon is coming to the full moon, 14th moon of Jamaad al-Ukhra. Sahabi radiallahu anhu says that I went on a moon lit night when the moon was its full, and coincidentally when I went out I saw the Prophet ﷺ standing talking with someone, but I was little away, and it was whole dark, and I could only see two lights ever. One is the moon shining a light, and one is coming from the face of Rasulullah. So I thought, let me decide now, actually this is a good time, this is a good place to actually see that whose light is more. So he began to judge. Obviously it was not very much light that people will be buying anything, but yes, there was light. But he said, I thought they are similar. So I was looking at the moon, then I look at Rasulullah's face, and he was talking to someone, and then look at the moon, then at me. He said, at the end I decided that his light is more, the peace is more, the tranquility is more at his face, and his face is more lightened than the 14th moon. Anyway, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, I was mentioning to you that he is such a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he spent most time very close to him, but he is the one who have narrated the least ahadith from the Ashara Mubashara and from the people who used to stay around him. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated thousands of ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he only stayed with him few years in the last years, because he became Muslim at that time, later years. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, if he wanted, he would know many, many of his sayings even before the announcement of prophethood. Then after the announcement of prophethood, even the narrations in the cave of Saur, where no one could narrate from him. But only handful of hadith from him. Why? Because the awe and the honor of the Prophet. He had actually gathered here because he could write, he wrote many of the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which saying could be more authentic other than his narration. But he destroyed them, he burnt them once. The other people of the household, and then they said, it was a precious knowledge. No one else had actually this, and you actually had, and you have actually burnt. He said, I have burnt it because of one hadith again. I burnt the other hadith, but because of one hadith. Why? He said, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that anyone who will narrate, tell things about me, my personality, or my ahadith, or my sayings purposely, which I have not said, so I have not said them, he should find and look for his place in hell, meaning there is nothing in paradise for him. He should look for in the hell, that which degree in the hell I am going to go through, because actually there is no place in paradise for him. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said that I fear that I might say something which actually Rasulullah did not say. That's why he was very fearful. Even Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, even these, when they used to narrate hadith, their color, their facial expression and complexion used to change. It's as though they put under heavy witnessing, and they became like nervous, and they actually narrated the hadith, they mentioned hadith, but they will say, "Aw kama qal," maybe something more, something less. Rasulullah said this, maybe there's something more he said, something less, or so less or more effect. It's about the nearest meaning. They would mention so many words like this actually to cover them so that they don't actually say, because this is it. So this is a great lesson for us, our people at our time, who not read one book of hadith, and they are saying day and night, well, Hazur Pak said this, and this hadith said this, and the Prophet, and they don't know. The many, many false narration they attribute to Rasulullah. So until you are 100% sure that you've read something or heard authentically, it's better just to say in the books it's mentioned. If you're not sure and you want to say something good, just say in the books it's mentioned. And some pious people say like this. It's their saying, it's a blessing. But don't actually look, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, this one lesson also we can take from him, that he burned his old at the Sahifa of hadith, which he had gathered because of just fear, not attributing anything to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there are very, very few hadith. But one hadith I'm going to quote, and let me finish. From him, mentioned in the books of Sahih, because that hadith he narrated because there was immense benefit for the ummah in there. So he risked. He said, I'm not going to keep this back because there is so much benefit for the ummah, and I will narrate this. And that hadith is, he said, radiallahu anhu, that I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the less or more effect, no nearest meaning, that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if a servant sins, not one time, twice, three times, but he repents after once, he does the sin again twice, the same day. He does one sin in the morning, same sin he repeats, 9 o'clock, he repents all life, with the conditions of tawbah, with truly, sincerely, he asks forgiveness. Then 11 o'clock he does it again, 1 o'clock he does it again, 2 o'clock he does it again, repenting, 3 o'clock he's doing again, 4 o'clock he's doing again. So to such extent that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq said that 70 times in a day this had happened. If someone sins and repents, 70 times. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if anyone does this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still accept his tawbah. And he does not care. Because sin does not harm Allah, it harms you. But you ask forgiveness, it won't even harm you. So this, because he saw immense benefit in this hadith, so he didn't keep it back. He actually conveyed the message. So this is a big hope that Shaitan tries to make us hopeless, because he did this himself. He was lazy in repenting, asking forgiveness. When he did not do the prostration and sajda, and he said, I'm not going to do it, and he didn't do. Now he didn't ask forgiveness. He didn't repent, he didn't do tawbah, he didn't ask forgiveness. He was there, lingering on. Allah SWT gave him opportunity at that time. He didn't. Up to now, same thing he puts in our mind. Oh, there's no benefit in asking forgiveness, because you are going to sin anyway tomorrow. Again, you know, no use, nothing. No. Every time you stand as though you are not going to do it again, with full, fresh, and actually strong resolve, actually with the conditions of tawbah. Then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the 70 times it happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine a person who commits, just bring your scenario in your mind, a person who is stealing, who is committing zina, 70 times, and yes, it sure looks very strange to you, but if you look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is nothing actually. Only you have to ask, only you have to actually repent. That's why Rasulullah alayhi sallam to encourage it, he said, even I, being the Prophet of Allah, I seek forgiveness from Allah 70 times in a day. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Rasulullah, the Sahaba ikram said, the most frequent words which we hear from Rasulullah would be Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. I seek forgiveness and I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because then it is not. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, as he was sitting in the company of many Sahaba Ikram, Rizwan Ajmain, were sitting in his blessed company, and he began to smile, and the Sahaba Ikram, they became very happy and pleased that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is smiling. But they didn't know, but they were happy to see Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy. But they asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what made you smile? So that made me, we may do it more, if there's anything of us which had made you happy. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, it's not about you, it's about the scene on the day of judgment. I'm seeing that there will be people on that day smiling. They were smiling on that day, and I'm seeing Allah Azza wa Jalla showing me those things beforehand.
They said, Ya Rasulullah, which are those people? Are they meaning very great worshippers, shuhada, anbiya, awliya, siddiqeen, scholars, worshippers? Prophet said, no, they were the ones which I saw smiling, they were sinners. They were sinners. They were Aashi the sinner. The Sahaba Ikram Rizwanun Ali Majmain, they were surprised because they were expecting that they will be people of zikr or anything as well. But they are sinners smiling on the day of judgment. Prophet said, yes, I also was surprised about them, but the others were people on the day of judgment, were also asking them, a group of them who stayed with them, they were saying, oh you, we did all these things together, the bad ones, look, we are now in trouble, big punishment is waiting for us now, Allahumma displeased, and how come you smiling, you did all these things with us as well, we were in the same group, actually with time living, and we did these many these things, you used to mess around with us, and how is it that you were smiling and in blessing and in ni'mah today? Rasulullah said that these people, others are asking them, then you used to be like us and you used to behave like us. And they said, yes, we used to do those things, we were in your group, we were your friends, and we all together we did many evil things, but we also used to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we found any opportunity of doing dhikr, salah, anything, asking forgiveness, doing tawbah, doing two nawafil, although we were doing bad things with you as well actually, but wherever we had, we would ask forgiveness. We didn't know as well, but when we looked at our book of deeds, all our bad deeds are changed into good ones. And that's why we are smiling, that's why we are happy. We are very happy that we were expecting big punishment and there is great reward. And where it came from, we didn't do any worship as such. Only thing was, whenever sadness, whenever regret, whenever this voice came in us, no, you're not doing wrong, you're doing a good thing, it's wrong, you shouldn't be doing this. We ask, Ya Bala, we are sinful, but we ask forgiveness from you. Please help us to come out of it. We regretted, and we did use to ask forgiveness from Allah and do tawbah, and it's because of that. So imagine, there is no despair. You have come in the majlis of zikr and nasiha tonight. Imagine, normally it is that a person gets reward based upon his intention. But there are people, if there's someone here who didn't come for zikr or nasiha, he just came actually so that I'm going to see this person or whatever reason. There's no reason for this. Because someone just dragged him with him. Let's go. He didn't want to go. He has no intention. I am evil person. I am shaitan. Nothing is going to benefit me. But let's go. But my friend is not like leaving me. I might as well go now. So he's sitting because of someone has been pushing him. He had no intention of repentance or anything. But Rasulullah said, any person who sits in the majlis of zikr and he has no intention of doing zikr or doing good thing, he just came to call someone or someone pushed him to come, at the end of the majlis, that person is forgiven as well. And the angels who record their surprises, Ya Rabbal Alameen, this person, he didn't want to come, but the other person had to beg him 100 times to come, and he still was, you know, half-hearted and lazy, and he's looking here and there, where he's going to finish, etc. He had no interest. Why he's getting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that these people who do my zikr with devotion, they are such beloved to me, they are such honorable to me, I like them so much, I will honor them so much, that anyone like that person who just sits with them, he won't be deprived as well. He's not deprived as well. These people are. So imagine that if this is the state of the person who have no intention of any good deed and thing, what would be the state of those people who do zikr
voluntarily with love, and they seek forgiveness from Allah, they confess their sin, and then actually they hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla subhanahu wa ta'ala, person should never look down. Last hadith I mentioned, and then Brother Shafiq, you can come there. Rasulullah alayhi sallam said there were two friends. One was a pious person who was like a good people, good person. Other one was like just sinning here and there, praying sometimes, not praying, doing bad things. But they were had a friendship some kind. The good one, the pious one, used to say, you know, this is not good you're doing, you better change yourself. And he would say, okay, I will. Like the people do. He used to give him dawah now and then. At one time he was passing somewhere and he came to know that he's indulged in such an evil act, such bad thing. And he became so angry, the pious one. He said that, 100 times I've said to you not to do this, and look what you are doing it again. Allah, because of anger and thing, he said, Allah, by Allah, he is not going to forgive you if you are doing like this. Prophet ﷺ said that when these people, two people died, the pious one and the sinner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them both, these friends, the arwah, and said to the pious one that, who gave you right to speak upon my qudra, what I can do, who I will forgive, who I will not? Who gave you this right? Your right was only to convey the message. And you assume this authority as though you have this authority. Today, because that person hoped from my mercy, I am going to forgive. And your all good deeds are destroyed because of your takabbur, and your boasting, and your self-likeness, and your arrogance, they have destroyed all your good deeds, like shaitan good deeds were destroyed actually. And this person, because he was sinful, but he wasn't arrogant. He was doing bad things. That's why I say to you, there are many people who see who are not coming toward the mosque, they are roaming around in the streets. But many are good at heart than actually the people who are sitting in the mosque. There are many people who doesn't have beard, but their heart in the sight of Allah, they might have better status than the people who have beard, because having beard is sunnah. But if the person who has beard, he is committing haram silently and lonely, and when he is in seclusion, and the other person is as he is, many people are, they show themselves as they are inside, and many are like us people hiding. There's two, three, not two personalities, but many, many personalities. With one person they will speak differently, with the wife they're going to speak differently, and with the other person they speak differently, etc. There are three, four actually. And maybe actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like them as such a character. And the other one is whatever you see, that's what you get. And the other one has many, many, many actually circles like jalebi in them, that you never know what is straight or not. Actually, you can never. But Allah Subhanahu wa Taala obviously is aware of us. So that's why I invite you as well. We are all sinful in the same boat, as one scholar said. We are living as though in the flood time of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. In Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, there was flood. There was flood, and whoever came into the boat and his ark, they were saved, and whoever did not, they were destroyed. But there is a flood now as well. There is flood now. What now is the flood of distractions, the flood of forgetfulness, the flood of heedlessness. Now there is a flood of ghafla, there is a flood of sin which has come. So let's sit in the boat of tawbah, the ark of repentance. The ark of Tawbah and ark of Sunnah, you can still be saved. Yes, I also agree there is flood outside, here, everywhere, this sin. But yes, in this flood, there are arks, there are boats of Tawbah also sailing. Sit on one of them, and in spite of being in the flood, you will be saved.
And Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi put it very beautifully. He said that the ark of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam in this ummah, the ark is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which actually saves you. JazakAllah.
Assalamualaikum brothers. As you've heard, most importantly, you should strike the metal while it's hot. While you've had to, you've listened and your hearts are softened, that it is a way how one can stop the flood of sin, how one can save themselves from, you know, habitual bad habits, how one can come closer to the Sunnah of the Rasulullah, how one can smile on the day of judgment, you know, by repenting. How does one do these things? How does one save themselves and purify themselves? How does that teach courses of purification? If you want to know further about them, there is new places, but you know, don't know anything about it. If you see me after the majlis or after the Salah of Isha, I will sit with you for 10-15 minutes and show you practically how one person can start a course. We start so many courses in our lives, and to start a course to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also exists, you know, practically. Inshallah, I'll show you, I will sit with you, but not for more than 10-15 minutes, and then you can go in and reflect. And it's a practical way how one can, day by day, in your own time, without giving anything up, generally just little sacrifices, baby steps, how one can get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if anybody's interested, please approach me after the Isha Salah, and I will sit with you for that. Also, there is a few announcements we made. Regarding some trips that are coming up. Firstly, there is a Morocco trip from the 10th of May to the 20th. The opportunity is still there. So if you want further information regarding that, see what the same regarding that. Also, there's an Umrah visit coming as well in mid-April for about 10 days and possibly 4 to 5 days. To in Egypt as well, possibly going on as well. So if you want to know further information about that as well, see Brother Said for further information. And also there's a weekday camp in Oldham from Monday the 13th to the Wednesday the 15th of April as well. So if you can't go further abroad from time restraints or financial restraints, but it's local events as well, camps as well, please try and participate in that. Also there's a fantastic outdoor 24 our summer camp taking place in half term break. This is for the youth mainly. So when you're in the break time, you can join this half term break on the 26th of May for the youth from 8 plus in Rochdale. The activities will include adventure playgrounds, outdoor games park, leaf hunt, paddle cars, carts, climbing towers, barbecue party, and in the evening as well. And if you want to join the barbecue, but it's a £5 charge for those people who are not there as well. So if you want, there's limited tickets available. So see Brother Ijaz for that regarding that. And finally, I would just like to say, after inshallah, now we'll be doing the Zikr Majlis, and after the Zikr Majlis, we will be given an opportunity to ask questions as well. And I will give further information, elaborate on that inshallah. So now, I'd ask all the brothers to get ready for the Zikr Majlis. First of all, to sit in the third position, which is the most like to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala position of the Tashahhud. Sitting that, and after, if you get tired, you can change your positions. Also, now bring yourself back into the Huzuri of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the three keys that are that Allah is with me, watching and hearing me, bear them in mind. Also, trying to stay with the teacher if they do the Zikr, and if they go silent, then for you to continue that Zikr. Also to raise your voices, alhamdulillah, when the people of shaitan, when they go out to clubs and things, they sing to the top of their voices and bring the roof down. And when we do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why should we mumble into our hearts? So raise your voices and do the zikr, and let the evil spirits know that there is that we're doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. So beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending upon this gathering, and absorb them, let them fall onto you like rain and wash away the darkness that we've accumulated during the week, inshallah, and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it changes our lives. Exactly.
الحمد لله. استغفر الله استغفر الله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا. مولاي صل وسلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من العرب ومن العجم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق فاعلم أنه محمد رسول الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله
لا إله إلا الله.
مبسوطا إلا الله لا مبسوطا إلا الله لا مبسوطا إلا الله لا مبسوطا إلا الله إلا الله
إلا الله. إلا الله أنت خير الراحمين أنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم أنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم أنت خير الراحمين اغفر وارحم أنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم أنت خير الراحمين حسبنا الله ونعم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير حسبنا الله استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله الذي لا الحي القيوم يا حي يا قيوم
يا حي يا قيوم
يا حي يا قيوم
يا حي يا قيوم
يا علي يا عظيم
يا
علي حي يا قيوم
يا حي يا قيوم
يا حي يا قيوم
يا حي يا قيوم
الحي القيوم
الحي القيوم
وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين صلاة وسلام عليك يا شفيع المذنبين اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا رب العالمين يا أرحم الراحمين ولولا فضلك لكنتم مرسيفول With your mercy and grace, accept all our good deeds, including this majlis and this dhikr and all this, the amal is saliha of all our lives, small or large, any good deed which we have done, Ya Rahman Rahim, accept by your grace and mercy. All sins, minor, major, openly done, secretly done, Ya Rahman Rahim, forgive our sins by your mercy and grace. Your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that you love forgiving, Ya Rahman Rahimin, and we love to be forgiven, Ya Rabbal Alameen, forgive us. Ya Rahman Rahim, forgive all the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the men and women, jinn and human beings who are living, who passed away, Ya Rahman Rahimin. Ya Rabbal Alameen, enable us to live the life which you like us to live, the life of following the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the life of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of the love of yours, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Rahman Rahimin, enable us to wake in our hearts from the sleep of ghafla and heedlessness. Ya Rahman Rahimin, cleanse our hearts and inner self from all the darkness of sins. All whatever you detest and whatever you dislike, Ya Rahman Rahimin, enlighten our hearts, mind, inner self with your ma'rifah, with your love, and with your glory and your qudra, Ya Rahman Rahimin. Ya Rabbal Alameen, enable us to attain your pleasure whilst we are living on this face of the earth. Enable us to die in a good state of iman and amal saliha. Ya Rahman, save us and all Muslims from the torment and punishment of the grave. Make the grave for us like one of the gardens of Jannah. Ya Rahman, Rahman, include us in those people who will be entering paradise without reckoning. Help us in all difficulties in this dunya and akhirah. All the people who are suffering on this face of the earth, Ya Rahman, alleviate their suffering. Give guidance to the oppressors who are actually oppressing your creation, and give patience to the creation and the oppressed, and enable us to help them, Ya Rahman Rahimin. Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Malim, give barakah in our risk, in our provisions, our honor and our livelihoods and our families, and Ya Rahman Rahimin, everything which you've given us. Protect the life and honor, the property of all the Muslims.
enlighten the hearts of disbelievers with light of Iman and Islam, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Fulfill lawful needs and desires of all who are present and not present, Ya Rahman Rahim. Remove the affliction, difficulties, illnesses, whatever has actually afflicted us, Ya, by your fadl and grace, Ya Rahman Rahim. Forgive our parents, our relatives, and all the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Accept our good deed, accept our prayers, our du'as, Ya Rahman Rahim. Whoever is in difficulty in any victim of shaitan, victim of any habitual sin which is not letting them actually free to do good deeds, help them extraordinarily to deliver them from the life of sin and enable us and them to live a life of sunnah and righteousness, Ya Rahman Rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرش سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين امين
استغفر الله ولا حول ولا قوه
السلام عليكم brothers I'll just kindly request the regular brothers to take a step back and then let the new brothers in come forward in that way. If they've got any questions to ask, ask them. You've got an opportunity now, but bear in mind to ask the relevant questions. Ask questions that are spiritual in nature. If you